What's up, everybody? Welcome to the long-awaited return of the New Realms podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Van Alston. With me is Alex Curran.
Hey, from across half the country?
From across the nation, yeah. I'm in Texas. Alex is in New York. So any audio issues, chalk them up to long distance and lack of a budget.
Yep. The budget anyway, on my end, the long distance is all his fault.
Yeah, it's true. I moved to Texas. We haven't recorded since August.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but hey, maybe we can actually make this a semi-regular thing now that we've solved the problem of long-distance recording.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, until I listen to this back and it could all sound like shit, so.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, I gotta mention this right off the bat, Alex. Finally, Mage Knight, as of Monday, my local game store got the new Mage Knight figures. As of Monday, this game has finally come out after talking about it since the very first episode of the show.
Yep.
Because it was talked about way over a year ago. Finally, Mage Knight's out. I got some of the new figures. I bought a starter set. They are gorgeous. They're a little bit different size than the traditional figures, and the rule set is definitely different. It is a different game. This is much more of like a new, different. It's a new Mage Knight game with a new concept,
so
and it fits more into HeroClix.
No compatibility?
I don't think so, but here's the thing, is that I haven't really gone through the rules with a fine-tooth comb yet. Like, I've only sort of skimmed them, and from whatever other information I can get online, the answer is no. But WizKids' website, dudes, if you're listening, is any from WizKids listen to this? I'm going to tag you in this. WizKids, I'm tagging you in what I'm saying right now is what I meant. You guys have to update your site. There's no information about your games. I can't even figure it out. Okay, like, there's nothing on their website at all about the new Mage Knight game, which came out Monday. Like, and it was not selling well at the store or whatever from what I saw. But, dude, like, there's got to be so many more Mage Knight fans out there who would love to play their shit.
They've pretty much doomed it to fail. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Like, oh, yeah, we're releasing this game, but we're not going to talk about it or anything like that.
The marketing for it is horrible. Yeah, like, we knew nothing about this game at all until the day it came out, and we still don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So, I have no idea what the hell they're thinking. Which is sad, because, like, the figures are gorgeous, and, like, the property is really smart, the fiction around the property is really good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot they could do with it, so, I mean, let's give them a chance here, but I have a feeling that this is just going to be like any other HeroClix set. You're going to get one starter from it, and then we're never going to see it again.
Yeah.
So it'll be like the Gears of War HeroClix. It's just going to be one set, and then it's gone. So, I don't know. But on the Magic the Gathering front, Theros came out last month. Alex, you went to the pre-release, right?
So did you, sir.
Yeah, we both went. That's right. I came home to New York.
One of us placed fourth. The other one left because he was in last and didn't need to face the rest of his opponents.
That was Alex. Alex did really bad. No, it was me. It was me. I did
horrible. One of us walked out of there with four booster packs. All right.
I did horrible at the pre-release, and it was because, like, I was not prepared for this. I knew nothing about it going in. And for whatever reason, I went with the color of the, I, you know, they had a, you had to pick a color, and then you would combine it with booster packs if you wanted a second color, right? It was sort of the way it worked, right? Because I picked.
Yeah.
I picked red.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, oh, I'll combine it with white, but now, I didn't get enough white cards.
You didn't actually have to combine it with those cards. You just would get cards of that. And I don't even think the stuff inside, aside from the rare, was based on anything. Like, it wasn't like it was handing you a pre-constructed deck. It was just
handing
you a bunch of random
cards.
No, it
wasn't, but it had a card or whatever that showed what your color would go with well, right?
Kinda. I mean, it was one card that exemplified that. I think, actually, it's the rare that you get in the starter decks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that. But I just was conflicted of what colors to do or whatever, because I didn't really read about the game going in very much. So in the middle of the tournament, I changed my second color, because you could not monocolor this, in my opinion.
No.
And, like, it just totally cost me greatly. I did a terrible job. It was abysmal. But I will say that I like Theros a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan. I like how slow played it is. Like, the mana cost for these cards is high, and it feels like I'm playing an M14 set almost, you mm-hmm. know?
Which works well because it's M14, Theros, and Ravnica in Standard right now.
Yeah, which is awesome. I just felt like, you know, the base sets or whatever always have the more traditional mana costs, slow-played cards, and Theros is following the trend. for a change. Like, there was no, like, crazy, ridiculous, asinine cards that I ran into while playing.
Yeah.
So,
while, some of the planes while we were crazy, playing.
But, yeah.
I would have to see it in a constructed tournament to be able to tell you if it is indeed slowed the game at all into a basic beat fest. But
From judging by my play group down here, we all play Theros standard decks, and it is much slower than it was with Return to Ravnica, for sure. But that being said, I'm sure that combining with M14 and New Ravnica, people are going to come up with some crazy combos and crazy ways to make fast decks, because New Ravnica was not slow.
No. And it definitely, I mean, when you're dealing with a two-color, forced two-color, essentially, deck scheme, or three, or when we went to that draft tournament, I actually played five-color, which was crazy fun.
Did you really play five color?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I forgot that we talked about that. Yeah.
Well, I went five color and drafted dual lands to start the first four rounds of draft picking. Ended up doing very well. If you ever get a chance to do a random Ravnica block draft, and the first stuff that comes through is Dragon Maze, by all means, and this is to any player, draft the dual lands, because every booster comes with one, and everybody else isn't going to be taking them. It's also a good sign to see if somebody else is going to play five color if you start not getting those early, because that'll tell you to ditch that strategy.
Not to mention that the dual lands tend to be worth money, guys.
Well, no. I'm talking like the common dual lands.
Those are worth shit.
Yeah, no.
Because I got some of the rare dual land for Theros, which was one of the reasons that I originally went red-green, I think. Mm-hmm. And it did not really pay off because I just didn't have the cards to support it. But so my problem there was, it was like, oh, these are the dual land I have. I have to make a deck with these colors. And then it didn't work.
Yeah.
So, sometimes
also a drafting strategy or a lesson for everybody. Don't go based off of what land you have.
Yeah, don't do that. That was horrible. It's why I'm not good at Magic the Gathering draft tournaments. I don't know why. But it's because I am incompetent when it comes to having a pile of cards in front of me and then making a deck out of it. I don't know why. I know that it puts everyone in a fair playing field, and my complaint about Constructed is that I don't spend enough money on the game. Mm-hmm. But for draft, I'm just buffoonish when it comes to putting together multicolored decks on the fly. I don't know. It's just me. Also with Magic, man, new Commander stuff. I didn't get any. Alex, did you get any?
Any of the what?
New Commander stuff?
New Commander stuff. I sure did. I got one deck of it so far. And I got the Eternal Bargain deck, which is quite the deal. Get it? White, yeah. White, blue. It is a white, blue, black Commander deck. Pretty standard white, blue, black control. It is led by Olero, Ageless Ascetic. He is a legendary creature, giant soldier, and there's a lot of life gain in his deck. He is based on life gain. He is actually a card that you could, and you know, he's obviously created for Commander because he actually has an ability that occurs when he is in the Commander zone, as many of these new Commanders have. But other than that, I mean, it was really interesting to buy these new cards, or to buy these new decks, because they have some cards that, Chad, I don't even think you knew when I mentioned Horsemanship being back.
I actually did not even know what it was. I had to when you mentioned it, I still had to look it up and be like, oh, I guess I have seen cards with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're going back to Portal's Three Kingdoms.
Oh, it's a long time ago. And it basically, you described it as flying but not flying, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who don't want to look it up, it is flying without flying. Instead of basically any instance of the word flying can be blocked by creatures with flying, this is can only be blocked by creatures with horsemanship.
It's kind of dumb, and I don't really understand why they threw this in a Portal set, because that seems like that would confuse the shit out of new players.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's basically you get to learn flying. but
it's true, but they already learned flying because they have flying.
Well, yeah. I think they were trying to figure fit it into the lore of the set.
It's
in
true.
That
yeah.
you know, this was just it was basically like warring feudal age China.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, I guess any time they bring back something old from the history of magic, if they brought back Banding, I would still be happy about it. I love when they reach into the archives and bring out stuff that I barely remember or don't remember or that new players have never seen. No matter what it is, I love how they keep old stuff alive. And horsemanship, totally welcome it. Does it fit well with the deck concept?
No.
No?
I mean,
really?
It...
You just jack it right out of there?
It, well, yeah, you could. Some of the cards that have it aren't that great. I mean, but... You can think of it this way, though. It is basically, because of the way it is in Standard, I mean, if I brought a deck that was based on horsemanship to a playgroup, who's going to be able to block it?
You got a good point there. If you're playing a Legacy Vintage game, or even a Commander game, hell, if you had a horsemanship deck, your opponents are screwed.
Or even just a horsemanship card. Just one yeah. guy with horsemanship, he's basically unblockable.
If you pump... Dude, this is like the ultimate backdoor strategy I never thought of. Yeah, if you have some sort of creature and you can pump the hell out of it or whatever, it's with horsemanship, it's immortal. It's unstoppable.
And it yeah. can still block. It's like it has shadow, but without the bad effects.
What if you gave it hexproof? Then there's no stopping it.
Then there's... Well, board wipe.
Oh, yeah, okay. Touche. You just ruined it, Alex. Now everyone's going to be playing Wrath of Gods. Everyone's going to have Wrath of God in all their decks now.
Everyone plays Wrath of God in Commander anyway.
It's true. Yeah, it's true, actually.
Board wipe is reigns supreme. I once had a person tell me that basic deck strategy in Commander is if you lose, your deck needed more board clearing effects.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I have not played a whole lot of Commander to know that that's true, but it makes sense that board wipe cards would really be irritating in decks that essentially are really, really slow played.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Anyway, I want to go run back to Mage Knight real quick before we jump on. I just want to say that next show, we will definitely have more to talk about this because I'm going to be playing games this week. But the only thing I can tell you is that the starter, while it's sufficient to have a two-player game, you definitely need to buy a couple of boosters. There's just not enough figures to really discern any kind of strategy. It's basically one side versus the next. You just split the starter. So it's not really...
Did you get any Draconum?
I got whatever came in the starter. I did not buy any boosters yet. I'm going to buy them like when I get paid this week. I'm hoping to get some Draconum. I saw some photos of Draconum and stuff, and like they're really cool. I can't remember what came in the starter. I don't have it in front of me. There's some cool-looking creatures and stuff, but I don't think there's any Draconum. I don't know. I'll look up the picture of the starter right now, or I'll look for the starter right now, I guess. Alex, do you want to talk about the new Warcraft expansion?
Yeah. That's going to be... it was just announced just either yesterday or... Yesterday. No. Today. As of November 8th. Okay. Warlords of Draenor. Now, I'm not really sure. I haven't done a whole lot of research on it because just before the show, I learned that this was it because I finally looked it up because BlizzCon is happening right now and everybody's super stoked about that. We kind of knew this was coming because they had copyrighted this, the name, in several countries just previous to BlizzCon going on. So... You kind of knew it was coming, but it's going to be from level 90, which is what everybody's at now, to level 100. So we're back into a 10-level expansion. All player characters, character models, and animation for existing playable races are getting a full revamp. So they're going to look different, act different, all that kind of stuff. I guess you're going to have the ability to build a garrison, where you can construct, command, and expand your own customizable stronghold, and you'll actually get NPCs to gather resources for you. It almost harkens back to regular Warcraft or Age of Empires or
it's
StarCraft.
Almost like an RTS element.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping, because they will embark on missions under your order.
That's pretty cool. And I wonder, thinking, how the hell you're going to manage them. They got to change the UI.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm hoping you could almost do, like, a mini version of, now World of Warcraft is a StarCraft game, like, for the duration of whatever, you know?
Yeah, that'd be pretty
like,
awesome,
all of a sudden you have an RTS in
what
Warcraft.
About, you mean like a new type of arena play?
Yeah, like a PvP.
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, I think it'd be totally awesome. Like, essentially, like, you have slaves in Warcraft now. Is that accurate? Or can you control the
I'm
NPCs?
Not saying yes to that.
Can you control the NPCs?
I don't know. I mean, it says you can give them orders.
Well, I mean, like, I wonder how limited they are. I'm really curious to see what the hell this plays out like. I guess we won't know until they officially add it to the game, and then even then we won't know because they'll change it in 2 weeks.
I mean, yeah. So. Yeah, once beta testing happens, then that'll happen. Also, a quick aside on that, you will instantly upgrade to level 90. So if you don't have a level 90 character, Chad.
Yeah, I don't.
By purchasing and downloading and playing the new expansion, you get to jump straight into that expansion. You skip every other expansion that World of Warcraft has
had. Which, by the way, is bullshit
had.
For those people who have been grinding for years. Such bullshit.
Yeah, but even those people get a free 90 out of it. They get another for one.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a good way to, like, add, you know, some life back to the game, because, like, players are leaving and all that kind of stuff. That's put this, because it's hard to jump in to a new MMO and be level 1 when everyone's a level 90.
Yeah.
So this especially sort of allows them to have a character on the same playing field as everyone else, so they can enjoy the game.
Especially when you're trying to play with friends. Like,
oh, yeah,
if,
no doubt.
If you're playing with somebody who's been in the game since day one, you know, they have to either come down to your level or wait for you, and they're not going to wait because they want to play the game just as much as you do, and they don't want to start a new character because, you know, they have characters that they already have time and effort put into. So this gives it a way to be, okay, you're up with us, we will teach you the gist of what you missed, or maybe there will be stuff to teach you what you've missed so far, and, you know, we'll just have to see how it all plays out again, probably mostly in beta.
Are these new? I have written down that they're adding new skins to WoW. Is this part of the new expansion, or is it a patch?
New expansion.
Is it? Interesting.
Yeah.
So this is a big expansion. Like, this is like a Burning Crusade kind of change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah, awesome. I would say, especially with the fact that it's 10 levels, and for a while they had said that they were only going to do 5 at a time because they wanted to really focus on things like those 5, so they must be devoting more resources to this expansion than previous.
All right, let's make a prediction. How many fetch quests?
How many escorts?
Yeah, how many? You know they're going to have the same kind of quests over and over, right?
How many references to poop? Because they have them. I don't know why the World of Warcraft design team is so infatuated with feces, and I'm not talking about the game because the game, it's not shit. But
no, it's not shit.
But you guys, this is a message straight to the developers and everyone who makes the quests, whatever. Why is there always one where I have to go collect guano from a bat or the droppings of a bunch of beasts so that I can pick berries totally out of their asses?
Totally true, man. I have no idea why there's so many poop quests in World of Warcraft, but there's a lot of poop quests.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little disheartening.
World of Warcraft, I'm sorry, were you saying something? I apologize.
No.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I just jumped over you. It's hard to hear because I'm in Texas and Alex is in New York.
Yeah. Again.
But speaking of World of Warcraft, the TCG, Alex, done. Gone.
Absolutely. License over. Finito.
Yeah, which is sad because we were just talking about in the last show, I listened to it, that we were telling people to go play it because the game is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It is good. So,
and now it's gone.
I don't understand because the sales for it were okay. It was always in the top 10 TCGs and stuff, or top, you know, top 5 game sales or whatever. Did they just get rid of this because they're adding this online card game and they thought maybe it would compete with each other? Because I feel like there's two different audiences. I feel like I'm much more likely to play a physical card game that I am an online one. So I don't understand why they couldn't have just ran both, but
Yeah, it's tough to say why they actually... they may have seen some numbers, maybe a decline that they weren't really interested in watching go all the way to zero or to fall off the top 10, but it's tough to say. All I can say is the new game is honestly, and I'm beta testing the new game I got into.
What's it
that.
Called?
Hearthstone.
Okay.
It is very well done.
Is it magic based again?
It is magic based, yes. It's very similar to actually the trading card game they have going or had going before this. It's almost like a hybrid of Magic and that game. Minus, you don't have to worry about resources in this game. It's a little bit simpler, probably because it is going to be a game that you can play on your computer, on your phone, on your iPad. It's going to be very universal in its playability.
You don't have to worry about resources. I've never heard of a card game that didn't have some way in which to pay for the cards, right?
And you will. On turn one, you get one crystal to pay things. On turn two, you get two.
So there's no tapping of like mana, which is really essentially what went on in the physical card game.
Right. Instead, you get one crystal. You can use that crystal, or you can just leave it there. If you leave it there, it doesn't add a third to your second turn or anything. You just didn't use it that turn.
That is freaking interesting.
And it goes up to 10. And at 10, it basically, from that point on, you have 10 resources every turn.
So I guess that my question is that there's a lot of video games that have trading card games built in. EverQuest 2, Star Wars Galaxies, Rage, the shooter, the console shooter, had a trading card game built in. And you would play it as part of the game. So like I would go to a bar in Rage and then play someone who's in the bar. Do you think that they're going to implement Hearthstone into World of Warcraft?
I really do. And I will tell you why right now. If you go to... If you have a World of Warcraft account and you log on and you go to the Pandaren major city, your faction's major city, I should say, in the Vale, which Warcraft people know what I'm talking about, other people
yeah,
not so holla.
Much.
but actually in there are NPCs playing Hearthstone outside of the major cities.
Oh, that's pretty freaking
so
cool.
So you can actually, like, you can't obviously like watch the game because they're just kind of sitting there and they're not interactive, but they have little effects that occur, which are things that happen when you're playing the game.
So you're made aware that they're playing Hearthstone?
Yeah.
That is so cool. So they're definitely going to implement this. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. if they're already doing things like that, and it took me a little while once I saw Hearthstone to recognize what they were playing, but now that I know, it just added a little Easter egg.
So this is also an independent game that you can play on an iPad and your phone and laptop, and you don't even have to boot up WoW, right? Correct, to play it?
Yep, and it is, it's going to be free to play. Or as you...
There we go.
You had talked about the freemium model.
The future, Alex.
Here,
the future.
Here is Blizzard's introduction into the freemium model, where you can play the game to unlock cards, or you can buy them.
See, there we go, man. That's the future. WoW will eventually adopt this model once they lose more numbers. Mark my words, people. It is, November 8th, 2013, at the time of recording. Mark my words. Freemium model's coming. It may even come by tomorrow, the time I post this podcast.
It's not coming by tomorrow.
Nah, it won't come by tomorrow. So Heroes of the Storm. Let's stick with Blizzard. Might as well.
BlizzCon is going on. We might as well talk about
BlizzCon,
Blizzard.
Holla. Yeah, are you still charged money to go into Blizzard's giant advertisement for itself?
Probably.
Yeah, anyway. So Heroes of the Storm. I love MOBAs. I love League of Legends, but I actually, as a MOBA player, I play Guardians of Middle-earth. I'm one of the six people in the world who play that game. So, and it's great. Blizzard finally has their own MOBA, not as a mod for Warcraft 3, but as a standalone game, Heroes of the Storm. You just sent me the videos of it, Alex. It mm-hmm. looks fucking awesome. Straight up. It looks a lot like League of Legends. It looks like it follows the exact same battle arena formula you would expect from a League of Legends style game. but it looks gorgeous, and there's a great diversity of characters from StarCraft, Warcraft, and Diablo. It's awesome.
Yep.
So,
I have to say, I'm gonna wait a little bit just to see how it all plays out, because
yeah, me too. Yeah,
it's interesting because they're taking something that they had, Warcraft 3, and they're taking a mod that somebody made off of their game, Defense of the Ancients.
I think it was Defense of the Ancients, and then it launched an entire genre of games.
Then that launched League and all these other things, and now they're taking it and going, okay, you guys had your fun, we're going to take this back and make it ours again.
And, you know, and maybe they can put some unique spin on it. There's really not a whole lot of details in terms of what they're going to do that's dramatically different, but...
Yeah, not yet.
Blizzard can come up with something cool, you know, because to be honest with you, while I love Guardians of Middle-earth, it really was identical to League of Legends in terms of how it played. Like, mm-hmm. I would like MOBAs to be switched up a little bit more. So, you know, I don't know, do something a little different. I'm not creative enough to come up with it, but I'm sure Blizzard's going to come up with something. Like, they wouldn't launch their own MOBA against, you know, mainstays like League of Legends if they didn't have something up their sleeve. So...
Elite Tauren Chieftain is also apparently appearing in Heroes, which I don't know if you know what Elite Tauren Chieftain is.
No, but I know you can be Diablo, which is just really cool to me, because he looks way bigger than the other characters.
Or Arthas or the Lich King.
Yeah, that's good. Dude, like, it's so funny whenever you play these games, because there is sort of a lack of balance if you take the characters in their face that the games remove. It's like you can be Sauron, for example, in Guardians of Middle-earth, but Sauron's as weak as fucking, you know... Smeagol, so you know,
or Malfurion, Malfurion versus like Tyrael.
Yeah, like that doesn't make any sense out of the face.
Versus
like,
Zeratul or what is it, Jim Raynor?
Yeah,
yeah, Diablo versus Raynor. I totally see that going on. Well,
yeah, I feel like the way I look at him is like they're really. Story-based useless. The characters are essentially there just to be fun. It's like playing Super Smash Brothers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really make any sense for Mewtwo to get his ass kicked by fucking Jigglypuff, but it happens.
Unless that's a level 100 Jigglypuff.
It's true, yeah. Speaking of Pokemon, Alex, we have an obligatory Pokemon story.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Pokemon XY came out. I've been playing it, but the card game came out. They added a new Pokemon type, Alex. Fairy type has a new energy and everything.
Fairy type?
Yeah, fairy type Pokemon, Alex. Because now they're running out of ideas because they've been making super powerful Pokemon for so long that now that every new set they have to add a new type. This is like the third new type in a year. Or second, right? Dragon and then, yeah. Alex, a lot of new types. That's the point.
I just had a brain aneurysm for fairy type.
It has like reddish pink energy and. Yeah,
yes, it's no, coming to the still card having the aneurysm.
Are you going to make a fairy type deck, take it to a tournament?
I am going to kill someone with fairies.
Oh, man. I guess the last story I wanted to mention, not Pokemon related, Alex, you can breathe the sigh of relief. Star Wars. So Michael Arndt was supposed to write the screenplay, Alex. And we have to mention Star Wars because this is a nerdy podcast, but I know this is a movie thing, but mm-hmm. It'll affect everything.
I mean, but it's going to affect games and...
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely. Michael Arndt was supposed to write the screenplay for the film. The Academy Award winner wrote Toy Story 3, Little Miss Sunshine. He left the project. So you have J.J. Abrams and then, what's his name? Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back. They're writing the new film. And they had requested from Disney to push back the release date until 2016 because they didn't think the film was going to be ready. And Disney said no. The film absolutely must be done by 2015. So the release date finally comes out. It's December 2015, about as far back as you possibly can push a movie, December 18th, 2015. But Star Wars has an official release date, December 18th, 2015. The screenwriters left the project. There's no real word what cast is signed on. Is this movie ever going to happen? That's my question. Because I guess that there was another rumor or something that Harrison Ford only signed on if there was an agreement that they would make a new Indiana Jones. So I just wonder if like Disney just gonna is Disney's goal to like totally ruin the Indiana Jones franchise and Star Wars, Alex?
They might have to in order to have that happen.
Oh man, I get less excited about this every day. When I heard Abrams was on the project, I was excited to a degree because I wanted to see his take on Star Wars, but I don't know, man. I'm like, ever since Disney took this project, ever since Disney took the license over, I feel like they're doing an abysmal job. So, I mean, the closing down of LucasArts, all this kind of stuff. Not happy with Disney and Star Wars at all. And there's like 5 movies announced already, for God's sakes.
Did they really, did they really need, like, how much time did he need?
I have no idea, but I'm not sure why Michael, I don't know if they're like, I don't even know if Michael Arndt will get screenplay credits. Like, I don't know if they completely scrapped his story and had to, like, rewrite it from scratch. I mean, I have no idea, but it's essentially back at pre-production. Before we end the show, I just want to say for Mage Knight, there's 2 dials for each figure. One of them makes them Mage Knight 2.0 compatible, and one of them makes them compatible for HeroClix.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's all I know.
That's how they'll make them backward compatible.
Make them backwards compatible.
You completely scrap the game and make a different one?
Yeah, I'm playing it now. Like the you can flip the
How are you playing it right? Bases. I realize
I'm not,
you're
I'm holding the figure in my hand. No. Not playing it. I said that all wrong. There's 6 figures in a starter. I don't know, man. I'm gonna play with this next week and we'll finally figure it out. But yeah, shame on WizKids for not updating their site there. Yeah, I'll play this before we record next week, and I'll have some real feedback for you in this game because I'm really excited for it. But I don't know, 6 figures for 20 some bucks is really kind of expensive, not gonna lie. So
yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, Alex, you want to do card of the show?
Let's do card of the show.
All right.
I've missed card of the show.
Do you got it or do I got it?
I'll let you.
We got a Magic the Gathering Gatherer, hit random card, and we got Soldier of Fortune, Alex, only printed in Alliance.
Soldier of Alliance Fortune. Alliance. Mercenary.
Yeah.
One summon mercenary, no less. Is it human now? Did Oracle make him a human? Human mercenary.
Don't know.
They sure did.
Look at that.
With the great creature unification that they did, where everything got a creature type and a job type, basically.
To be honest, you, for a creature that costs 1 mana, that ability of tap 1 to make target player shuffle their library is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And he's an uncommon 1-1 that, as Chad said, he's red. 1 red to cast. 1 red and tap him.
Yeah.
Target player shuffles his or her library.
Boom, that's pretty good. And I love cards like this. Again, this is a card that needs to be revisited. This has only been printed in Alliances. That was years and years ago. Here's a card that would be wonderful to throw in a random commander set or something, you know?
I don't know about that. I don't really want to I don't want to be the guy who says, hey, other person, shuffle the 100 cards you have in a deck.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be kind of mean to throw in there, but then again, you know, things that annoy other players are enjoyable for you if you're playing them.
Yeah. And, I mean, but what does this really, what does really tapping to shuffle a player's library? I mean, it only works if that player has something that, you know, Scry did come back. So, I mean,
you could do something like you can put a creature on top of their library and then have them shuffle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
something like that.
Or things like Scry. You know, they look at the top card, they like it. Oh, they're going to keep it. Oh, no, I'm actually going to make you shuffle your deck.
Yeah, that would be pretty mean. Yeah, so there's some uses for this.
Yeah. There's some uses for it right now in current standard.
Yeah.
Soldier of Fortune should come back in Theros.
Absolutely. Maybe we can also have him have... Maybe there can be, like, a new version of him that's renamed, and we can give him horsemanship.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah,
yeah, horsemanship.
Why not?
Back.
Give him horsemanship and flying.
Oh, well, anyway, all right, is that it? Is that it for the show? Really, is that it?
Yeah, I think we've hit all of all our bases.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway,
got card of the show.
That's boom. Thank you very much for listening to this special episode. We'll be back on a regular basis now. That's
yes.
The plan. But yeah, this has been the New Realms Podcast. I'm Chad Van Alston. Follow me on Twitter at Chad Van Alston. Alex, you want to shout out?
I'm Alex Curran. You can't really follow me on Twitter, but if you do happen to find me at I Like Humor, good luck. You just follow Chad instead. He'll retweet everything I say.
That's right, I do, just to make him mad. Hopefully see you next week for the show. I'll have an obligatory Pokemon news post to anger Alex with.
And they can email us too, right?
They can email us, at newrealmspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, tweet at us, email us, however you do it. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Next week, we will definitely talk Mage Knight. I will absolutely have played a game by the next time we record, and maybe Alex will even buy a starter as well.
Could be.
All right, New Realms Podcast, we're out.